This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In Leicester, we had two huge reminders in the last 2 weeks. One of them was a Mawlana who used to lead the salawat in Masjid Falah, which is the masjid right next to my house in Highfields. As long as I knew him, I would always see him in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. He was always a Quran teacher and he used to lead the salawat, brothers and sisters. He leads the Isha prayer and then he passes away. Is that surprising, brothers and sisters? Is that really surprising? It did not surprise me. You know why? Because Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is excessive in doing something, he's very likely to die like that. Very likely to die like that. He lived a life of Quran, salawat, al-imamah. This is the masjid that I was memorizing Quran in before I went to Al-Yemen. This is well before, 2009, around 2009 time. What a beautiful death. And then some days after that, my beloved brothers and sisters, we hear about a Syrian brother who died in the Fajr prayer. Is it again surprising? You do a little bit of digging up about his life. The man used to always attend the Fajr prayer. He used to lead the salawat. Is it surprising? It really, really isn't. And it's like common sense, brothers. If someone's always doing something, what is the likelihood he's going to die like that? Very likely, sah. If someone's always on his phone, what is the likelihood he's going to die like that? Very likely. He's always listening to music, what is the likelihood he's going to die like that? Very likely, right? Examples that I gave is the example of a husnul khatima, having a good ending. Then you also have, my beloved brothers and sisters, that which is known as su'ul khatima. A bad ending, right? And this is split into two, as the scholars mentioned. The last thing that you do before you die is either a sin or you now doing a matter that is dunya related. Give you guys a couple of examples, inshallah ta'ala. The first, that which Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. In his kitab al-Jawab al-Kafi, he said that there was a man who was on his deathbed. وَهُ فِي سِيَاقِ الْمَوْتِ. A sheikh came to him to do the talqeen. Does everybody know what the talqeen means? When someone's on his deathbed, you come to him and you keep repeating the La ilaha illallah. When he says the La ilaha illallah, you don't say anything after that, hoping that this is the last statement that he utters. Famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, Man kana akhiru kalamihi, La ilaha illallah dakhal al-jannah, right? Whoever's last statement is La ilaha illallah, he will enter into al-jannah. He was doing the talqeen. What was his last statement? وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنِّي وَمَا أَعْلَمُ أَنِّي صَلَّيْتُ لِلَّهِ صَلَاةً وَلَمْ يَقُلْهَا. How is this going to benefit me? This kalima, this la ilaha illallah. If I ask everyone here to utter la ilaha illallah, everybody can do it. Do you guys agree? Does anyone have his tongue locked up, which stops him now from uttering the kalima? La. I believe most of us here can speak. Saying, how is this going to benefit me? And I know I've never ever prayed a single prayer. وَلَمْ يَقُلْهَا, and he never uttered it. And that's how he died. It's not as straightforward, brothers and sisters, on your deathbed. Another example that Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam. When making mention of Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad, was from the righteous scholars of the past. Again, he visits an individual on his deathbed and he tried to do the talqeen. You know what his response was? This man on his deathbed? هُوَ كَافِرٌ بِمَا تَقُولُ. Indeed, he's a disbeliever in that which you are saying. So Abdul Aziz Ibn Rawad, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, I digged up his life to see what kind of individual he was. He was addicted to alcohol, to khamar. Al-Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi, in his kitab Al-Kabair, he mentions about an individual who again was on his deathbed. However, كَانَ يُجَالِسُ شُرَّابِ الْخَمَرِ. He used to sit with those who used to drink alcohol. He used to sit with them. I'll say that again for emphasis. He used to sit with them. He never mentioned that he used to drink, but he used to sit with them. Again, they tried to get him to say La ilaha illallah. What was his response? Ishrab waskhini. Drink and pour me some alcohol. That's how he died. Al-Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi, he also mentions another example. That there was this man who always used to play chess. Shataranj. And then he was again on his deathbed. They told him to say, La ilaha illallah. What do you think his response was? Shahak. Checkmate. That was the last thing that came out of his mouth. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he makes mention of an individual who used to love singing. Right? He always used to what? Hum and sing and so on and so forth. When he was on his deathbed, he was told to say, La ilaha illallah. What do you think he said? Tantata, tanta. Tantata, tanta. That was his last statement, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi mentions. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, every single Eid, we hear about someone who did not have a pleasant ending. Either the last thing that he was doing was drinking alcohol, or he was blasting music. Lady Paul Road, right? One time I was there holding a mic, and it broke my heart, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, it really, really did. It's as if you can see that the shayateen have been released as soon as Maghrib kicks in. Because normally the shayateen are locked up in the month of Ramadan, right? Blasting music. We hear about someone who was in a car crash, and he was blasting music, and it was the last thing that he said. We've heard about individuals who died in front of a nightclub, died in front of a pub. And that's heartbreaking. Also, Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, he tells us about ba'd al-tujjar, some individuals who were businessmen. When they were on their deathbed, they tried to get them to say La ilaha illallah. What was his last statement? هذه القطعة رخيصة. This merchandise is very cheap. وهذا مشتر جيد. And this one is a very good customer. Are we saying, my beloved brothers and sisters, that buying and selling is haram? No, it's not. However, if it takes over your heart and you become an abd, a slave to it, ta'isa abdu dinar, ta'isa abdu dirham, as the Messenger of Allah told us about, so much so that you prioritize that over Allah Azza wa Jal, it may well be the last thing that you say. I'm sure we've come across these videos going viral, right? Of a man in the masjid by himself, and the CCTV catches his last couple of moments, and we look at this video and we say, oh, I wish I can have something like that. Or someone now holding the mushaf, and that was the last thing that he was doing, right? وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever is excessive in doing something, he's very likely to die like that. You guys know Alan Shearer? Alan Shearer? You guys heard of Alan Shearer? Is Alan Shearer dead or alive? Many years ago, I heard a sheikh telling us about a young man who was crazy, Alan Shearer. For those who don't know him, he was known as the fox in the box when he played for Newcastle. The one who scored all the goals. This child, or this young man, was Alan Shearer crazy. He wakes up to Alan Shearer, goes to sleep to Alan Shearer. His duvet has a picture of Alan Shearer. His wallpaper has a picture of Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer crazy. The Sheikh came to his house when he was on his deathbed. What do you think his last statement was, brothers and sisters? Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. My mom one time told me about a man who was addicted to his girlfriend, Muslim man. And I'm sure you guys have already got the sketch now, right? He's on his deathbed, try to get him to say La ilaha illallah. What do you think the last thing was that he said, brothers and sisters? His girlfriend's name.